Big Brothers Big Sisters needs your help. There's a waiting list of more than 50 children hoping for a mentor. It's just a few hours a month. Be a mentor. Become a big. Visit Big Brothers Big Sisters Northeast Florida and click on Be a Big.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, I can see the weekend for many. It's well underway and it's well deserving. Hopefully a good one, a safe one for you and yours. Yeah, I could feel it. Things are turning here for the better in the month of March. Getting that golf bug, both playing it and as well just observing it. Today would have been the latter. Barely got off the lazy boy, just enjoying everything at Arnold's tournament, second round coverage. It's all about Corey Connors. Went low again today, 69, 9 under par, heading towards the weekend. But watching him try to, you know, drive it 340 yards on the par 5 sixth hole with, you know, Bryson DeChambeau and playing with Jordan Spieth, and right before that, Rory McIlroy. Ricky Fowler's in danger of not making the Masters. He did make the cut this week, but he also got lit up by Sir Nick Faldo. You know, I mean, a guy that you would think would be above any sort of criticism as the analyst on CBS, and he's also a big part of what goes on within the Golf Channel. And maybe it was tongue-in-cheek. Maybe it was just a little bit of a joke. But anyway, that picked up some steam this weekend. They're going low. It's a tremendous leaderboard. Martin Laird, Victor Hovland, Rory McIlroy, Lanto Griffin, I believe, lives right here in Ponte Vedra. The aforementioned Bryson DeChambeau. Good news for Jacksonville's own Russell Knox. Makes the cut after a 74 yesterday, 71 today. The cut line was at +2, so he sneaks in through the back door at +1, making it by a stroke. 49 of the top 50 golfers will be here next week as far as the official golf rankings. And, you know, that's great news here for the players. I know it's going to be a tougher seat or, you know, just tougher to get in. And just talking about it with Frank and company, it appears we're getting closer and closer and closer. And, you know, hopefully next year at this time, you know, the virus is gone, or if not, at least everyone has the vaccine, and at least we're in a situation where, you know, controlling it is something that everyone can do. There's still a lot to be alarmed about now, this time of year, no question about it, but it is going to be a blast next week. I never really look ahead at the weather, as I always say, because those knuckleheads are always wrong, but it appears it's going to be beautiful next week in Ponte Vedra. That's cool. 113 PGA Tour winners will be part of the 154-man field. 10 past Players' Championship winners are going to be there. Top 30 players in the FedEx Cup standings are going to be there. And as I said, at the top, 49 of the top 50 players in the official World Golf Ranking will be there as well. We're going to have tons of coverage all next week. One of my favorite weeks of the year. And, you know, now when I look at it, everything has changed because of the shock value that went into it last year. And, you know, I went out early in the week, as we always do, get an opportunity to hear from some of the players on the PGA Tour, get an opportunity to hear from the Commissioner Monahan and, you know, kind of his state of the PGA Tour address. And, you know, there started to be whispers this, whispers about that. And, you know, all of a sudden it's Thursday's round doing my show, and we hear that, you know, this particular conference is opting out of the NCAA tournament. And an NBA game is being canceled. Now another NBA game is being canceled. An NHL game is being canceled. Then all of a sudden it comes down, no fans on Friday. Then a few hours later, no round two. The event just shut down. A shock for us all. But here we are a year later. And it appears things are getting better, at least in the sports world. In the general world, well, you could probably argue with me with that. Anyway, we got things going here tonight. We're going to be very busy. We're going to take you up until 8 o'clock. Mike Girardi of the NFL Network is going to join me here in just a little bit. And You know, there's a lot I want to get into with Mike Girardi. I continue to, as all of us do here on the home of the Jacksonville Jaguars, talk daily about filling in the key components to make this football team much better, you know, and what is the pattern? What is the best way to go about this? Well, it's the draft, okay? You're going to be most successful in this league by doing a couple of things. Number one, you need a clear-cut, dominant quarterback. You're not going to go anywhere without one. Hopefully that is the case with Trevor Lawrence. Number two, you got to build it through the draft, okay? That's where you build everything. And the Jaguars have incredible draft capital. You know, we don't really know what to expect out of last year's draft class. Even the draft class prior to that, still some injuries that, you know, this football organization has had to deal with, particularly with Josh Allen. So it'll probably be this year until you are firmly allowed to give an educated guess on, you know, what type of a player is he going to be. He was outstanding as a rookie, but he was there in pass rush situations, you know, when Calais would move inside, Unique was on the other side, and all of a sudden that became a formidable bunch to go after opposing quarterbacks. That wasn't the case last year. The Jaguars were awful. I think they had 18 sacks. I mean, just terrible. And, of course, the defensive scheme is going to change. But it becomes all about free agency. And, again, it's about spending and finding guys. You know, that's what free agency is about. It's about filling immediate needs. And then you draft for talent, and you build your team through the draft. But there's no doubt in my mind, if I had any say at all, and obviously I don't, for me it's all about Trent Williams. Can you find a way to get this man signed? He is one of the best left tackles in the game. He's one of the best left tackles in the past 20 years, really since that great era of the 90s and into the, you know, turn of the millennium. Since the Boselli, Pace, Walter Jones, Jonathan Ogden, Bruce Armstrong, Willie Rofe. I mean, we went through an era where there were phenomenal left tackles. I say it all the time. I believe left tackle is the weakest position in sports, period. Okay? Not only in the NFL, it's the weakest position in team athletics. All right? There's better starting pitchers. There's better goaltenders. There's better NBA centers. There's better everything. I mean, we can go back and forth with quarterbacks here, but for the most part, the NFL's got, what, 15 to 17, 18 quarterbacks that teams believe in, that teams are not going to move away from, even in a year where the QB carousel has been unlike anything we have ever seen, historically speaking, in the game. It gets me to Dak Prescott. I'm going to share a comment on him coming up in just a little bit, and as always, I'm going to ask for your assistance and or reaction at 641-1010 or on Twitter, Baloo1010XL. But I've kind of nibbled around this all year or all offseason, but we haven't hammered it home yet. I'm crystal clear on it. It's not even close for me. If I could only have one free agent and one free agent only, his name is Trent Williams. Earlier today, Bucky Brooks, former Jaguar, does great work now with the NFL Network. He went on Jaguars Today. He was asked about what type of player Trent Williams is.
You know, Trent Williams is a different animal because Trent Williams is a Pro Bowl caliber player. I would spend a lot, but on a short note, because you don't want to hamstring your roster and your cap concerns with that player. But I mean, he's an upgrade. He's an upgrade over Cam Robinson. I mean, you talk about a player who's a perennial Pro Bowl caliber player. If we have to outbid somebody, I would be okay doing that because he's a proven commodity. He's a difference maker. He changes kind of the temperature and the attitude of that offensive line. So yeah, I'm willing to go above and beyond to make sure I could bring him in.
Willing to overpay, significantly overpay. And I also want to double dip and draft a young tackle with all of the, you know, very high draft picks that the Jaguars have. You can never have too many offensive linemen. You must, I mean, and again, I'm opening up for you. But, and here's the way that you really have to look at it, okay? You're heading out to the bars with your buddies tonight, and everyone's going to be talking about the Jaguars and this and that. Here's the way that you should be looking at it, okay? I'm going to spell it out for you. We'll be taping right now, RJ Saunders, because we're going to go back and look at this someday, because you and I both know someday.
The Jacksonville Jaguars
are going to be
Super Bowl champions.
But it's not going to happen in 2021.
Never say never.
It's not going to happen in 2021. There's going to be drastic improvement
right
in 2021, but it's not going to be, we're not going to be rolling down Phillips Highway by the Gator Lodge celebrating a Super Bowl championship in early February.
Why not? Let's go after all the big names right now. We got the money. Let's draft well. Who knows? I mean, come on. We're going to have Trevor Lawrence in. Come on.
You sound like Dan Snyder, by the way. That's not the way to go. Just because you have the money, you don't need to spend it all. And I know they could free up money next year. They could cut Joe Schobert. They could cut Andrew Norwell, who all of a sudden is on the trade block, according to Jason Lockenfora, who just loves to make stuff up. Brandon Linder as well. So they'll create some cap. But back to my point, because it's an important one. The Jaguars are going to be a much better team in 2021. They're not going to be a Super Bowl contending team, however. You need to build this brick by brick, piece by piece. Right now, the most important thing that the Jaguars can do is to protect their franchise. Protect Trevor Lawrence. You overpay to get Trent Williams. I don't want to hear, well, it's just the guy that they're getting. Or they're going to plug in this man or plug in that guy and try to get it done in the draft. And I spent last night again reading. It seems like all of these draft prospects, for the most part, the higher-ranked tackles, except, you know, outside of the kid out of Oregon, who's going to go way in front of when the Jaguars select Sewell. Okay, most of these guys have played right tackle. Most of these guys register or look as though they are going to end up being interior type of players. I mean, do you really want to draft a right tackle who played that position in college and then, well, we believe that, you know, we can make him into a left tackle? What? You got to protect your investment. You've got to protect the face of your franchise. This should be a no doubt automatic. What this organization needs to do right now is get the best left tackle money can buy. And, you know, everyone is Allen Robinson me. Oh, I want to bring Allen Robinson back into town. Let's spend $20 million a year for a glorified possession receiver. Oh, let's break the bank. Let's make a trade. Let's go get a corner and put him on the other side of C.J. Henderson. Oh, let's give Leonard Williams whatever he wants. Oh, let's give money now to Shaq Barrett, have him get off the edge. Okay, these are all nice. But you can afford to not go after those guys and not significantly upgrade at those positions right now this year because you're not going to win a Super Bowl. But protecting your franchise is something you need to spend money on in a week when the free agency period opens. That's why Trent Williams deserves the bag. He deserves the Brinks truck. No doubt that is what this organization needs to do. Now, my head is telling me no, 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 no with Cam Robinson. It's just a consistent pounding of no, 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 no. My gut is telling me the Jags are going to bring him back. And if they do, I will be supportive of it. I mean, I'm not going to sit here during the offseason and crush the combination of Urban Meyer Trent Baalke. For crying out loud, you're dealing with a 15-game losing streak. I'm not going to Debbie down this for you. If they go against my opinion, fine. They're paid to make these type of decisions. But for me, you can't get it wrong. You can get corner wrong. You can get a defensive tackle wrong. You can get a pass rush end wrong. You can get another wide receiver wrong. You can get tight end wrong for like when's the last time they've had a tight end around here? Since Mercedes Lewis? You can get all those positions wrong. You can't get left tackle wrong. Opinion on that coming up on the other side. 641-1010. Also got something I'm going to throw out to you involved with Dak Prescott. That is on the other side. Looking forward to the weekend. Hopefully you are as well. Mike Girardi joining me in 15 minutes from the NFL Network alongside RJ Saunders. I am the truth teller, Rick Ballew.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, it's good to have you with us. Tonight's show brought to you by the good folks over at Key Buick GMC. The incentives are in for the month of March. Great weekend for you to go on out and visit them. Phenomenal incentives, both on Buicks as well as GMCs. I have both my vehicles from Key Buick GMC. Have the Buick Enclave and have a GMC Sierra 1500 truck, and the deals are ridiculous right now. Receive 0% financing up to 72 months right now, or 1.9% financing up to 84 months with up to $1,000 in GM owner loyalty assistance. That just sounds incredible. All right. Always when you purchase a brand new vehicle from Key, comes with the lifetime powertrain warranty. Across the street from Tinseltown, South Side and Gate. Great weekend to visit them. Coming up on Saturday and Sunday. All right. Justin Simmons tagged, franchise tag, second consecutive year, the safety. I know a lot of people expressed interest there. Therefore, the Broncos have until July 15th to reach a long-term deal with him. Same deal as what happened a year ago around here. With Yannick Ngakoue. Other note, Von Miller's not going to be charged now criminally. There's been some talk that maybe Denver will move along from Von Miller. Of course, he was out last year, but it's one of many expected NFL cuts that have already happened in the last week and change and will continue to happen before the new year begins in the NFL, which is during the mid part of March. All right, so Trent Williams is the guy that, again, I would do whatever it takes to go out and get him. I've asked you, who is the primary free agent that you would go after right here in Jacksonville? Again, if you can only get one, and I know that that's an unfair question because the Jags have the ability to sign two or three tier one free agents. But for the sake of what we're doing tonight, I'm asking you about one guy only. Who would you break the bank for? For me, it's not even an issue. I would do it with Trent Williams. Mike Girardi, again, coming up in about 10 minutes. I'm going to ask Mike this involved with Trent, what he believes the possibility is of Jacksonville getting him. But I'm also really interested in your opinion out there tonight on Dak Prescott, because I love NFL fans how they feel about quarterbacks. And during this season, again, it's been unlike anyone that we've ever seen. I mean, just think of all, we've already had two huge trades with Matthew Stafford and Carson Wentz. There is a possibility of many other quarterback trades. I mean, heck, Tua could be traded in Miami. Sam Darnold absolutely could be traded in New York. Teddy Bridgewater could be traded in Carolina. What's Denver going to do? What's Chicago going to do? And, you know, Philip Rivers announced his retirement. Drew Brees announced his retirement, although he hasn't said it. You know, many believe it's going to be Jameis Winston there. If not, which way is New Orleans going? The last couple of weeks, the quarterback conversation has been dominated by both Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson. Every Jaguar fan alive right now is hoping that Russell Wilson will be moved out of the AFC South. And if you don't want that, then there's clearly something wrong with you. Russell Wilson, a little bit older. He's 32 going on 33. It just seems like Russell's whining, you know, not getting along with Pete Carroll, not getting along with Pete Carroll's kids who are on the staff. And you know, Russell's always hit or miss. Phenomenal talent, but he doesn't use the dump down game well. He seems to go for the home run or ends up getting sacked. And frankly, he's lost a little bit of giddy up in his get along. But we'll see what happens there. Gets me to Dak Prescott. It's a yes or no question for me. Dallas is going to have to spend, if they put a tag on him, and again, the deadline is Tuesday. That applies to Cam Robinson. That applies to Dak Prescott. That applies to everyone else who could be tagged. Right now, officially, there's only been one tag, and that was Justin Simmons in Denver. Is Dak Prescott a Super Bowl winning quarterback? I don't think he is. If Trevor Lawrence wasn't coming here, I would love the idea of Deshaun Watson coming to Jacksonville. I know he's in the AFC South. Just follow me here. I would love the idea of Russell Wilson coming here. He's already won a Super Bowl. Could have won two. I don't believe Dak Prescott is an NFL winning Super Bowl quarterback. What is it about his game that makes him that attractive? Now, listen, I feel bad about the injury a year ago, but he's had plenty of weapons. He's had a great offensive line. He's had a phenomenal running attack. Where do you rank Dak Prescott? Honestly. And he moves up now by default because, well, Drew Brees is no longer there. Would you have had him ahead of Phillip Rivers even last year? I think that's a fair question. I think if you were to survey a bunch of NFL media types or general managers off the record, I think that would be around 50-50. You know, Roethlisberger signed this week, took a big pay cut. Ben's already won a couple. Not a lot of Super Bowl winning quarterbacks in the NFL, and we just lost one in Drew Brees. I think there's, what, six or seven total now that Eli Manning is retired and now that Drew Brees is going to retire. Dak Prescott, to me, is not a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Are you going to pay this guy close to $40 million right now to be the quarterback in Dallas? I mean, Mahomes, Brady, Watson, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees. These are all quarterbacks that I would rank higher than Dak Prescott. And, you know, where is he with Matt Ryan? Where is he with Matt Stafford? Where is he with Derek Carr? Where is he with Kirk Cousins? Where is he with Ryan Tannehill? Where is he with Baker Mayfield? Where is he with the young Daniel Jones? I'm just having trouble identifying with this. You hear the people in Dallas. I watch NFL Network religiously, and whenever they bring, I can't think of her name right now. It's the young lady who does Jane Slater, who is based out of Dallas, covers the Cowboys. It's like they're closer, they're going to make this thing. Is he really worth $40 million a year? Dak Prescott really going to bring a Super Bowl to Dallas? I feel comfortable about sitting here tonight and say Dak Prescott could play another 10, 12 years, and the Dallas Cowboys are never going to win a Super Bowl. Just my opinion. Give you an opportunity to give us your opinion. All right, coming up next, Mike Girardi from the NFL Network. Got a lot I want to get into with Mike, including the booth umpire that is perhaps being put back into play, this absurd overtime rule. I guess the NFL now feels like they have to be gimmicky, right? You know, it's kind of like Major League Baseball. Let's shorten games to seven innings. Let's put up four fingers, produce an automatic walk. If you're going to make changes, why don't you make them that are more beneficial for the game? Like when the NHL lifted the red line, the NHL said, you know what, we need more scoring. Let's go the way of college hockey. Let's go the way of the Olympics in the world of hockey. Let's lift that red line. Let's forget about two-line passes. We'll allow some guys to cherry pick. And then we'll give you a four-minute overtime with four-on-four. Exciting brand of football. A spot situation? Teams can choose where they want to spot the ball in overtime? I mean, the NFL is so far ahead of everything else. Look at the NFL and its numbers compared to MLB, NBA, and the NHL. Why does the National Football League have to go the way of a gimmick? I hated when they moved back to PAT. I still don't support moving back to point after attempt. It should be a reward when you score. Why penalize the kicker now? I despise that rule. And I know I'm in the complete minority here. But I think it was a stupid, unnecessary rule in the NFL to move back to PAT. Feel the same way about this new overtime rule. We'll get into that. Plus, I'm going to ask Mike Girardi absolutely about the left tackle position here in Jacksonville.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, with you tonight till 8. Good to have you with us alongside RJ Saunders. I'm Rick Ballew. The good folks over at the Blue Crab Crab House, they're hiring all positions. Bartender, waiter, waitress, kitchen. Great hours. I mean, they're open 4:30 to 9:30, 6 days a week off Monday. Of course, this Sunday, go on by, enjoy $1.95 Bloody Marys, the best in town. But great company, family-owned and operated since 96. Outstanding folks. My advice to you is to visit them in person. Just go on by and say hello. It's the Blue Crab Crab House. Again, if you need work and you need work fast, that is the way to go. How about that AEW spot that we just heard a moment ago? I mean, where else in the United States of America are you going to get Shaq going through a table in AEW on a Wednesday night? And then Thursday through Sunday, you are the best players in the world on the PGA Tour trying to survive 17 at the Players. That's what it's going to be like around here next week. It is going to be phenomenal. And I'll tell you, I enjoyed watching today's coverage of Bay Hill getting it done at Arnold's place. But that'll be next week here in Jacksonville. Also move closer to the legal tampering period, the weekend. That is coming up on the 15th, and then free agency officially does begin on March 17th. Mike Girardi does an outstanding job with the NFL Network, and he goes into the night with Rick Ballew. Mike, thanks for a couple of minutes.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yep, it's good to have you back. You know, in my opinion around here, with the assumption that Trevor Lawrence is coming, the biggest decision that Jacksonville is going to have to make is left tackle. Now, there's a lot of potential opportunities and ways that they could go. Let's start with Trent Williams. What are the chances that he is let out of San Francisco?
I think the chances are decent because there's so many teams that have financial issues here because of COVID, because of the cap. Being where it is, or we think it's going to be, it's not been official yet. That's going to be a difficult decision for them to make, but maybe one that they have to make. And I think we're looking at a situation here, too, where the teams at the other end of the spectrum, like Jacksonville, like the Patriots, like the Indianapolis Colts, I mean, if they want to, they could spend like drunken sailors here and you know, a short term deal, big money. Might make a lot of sense for both sides.
Yeah, it's the one issue. It's the one. I mean, obviously the Jags have $82 million or thereabouts, and yeah, they have a lot of needs that need to be filled. But when you invest everything in Trevor Lawrence and he becomes the face of your franchise, they just can't have a guy at left tackle. I think, Mike, in my opinion, that is the one position on the football field where they must overpay.
I don't disagree with you at all. I think you look at how things have gone in New York with the Jets and Sam Darnold, you know, high pick. And up until this past season, they didn't have a left tackle. You know, they drafted Mekhi Becton he looks like he's going to be a terrific player if he can stay on the field. And now they're in a spot where do they move on from Darnold, or do you say, you know what, how about if we get him Penei Sewell on the other side, and now all of a sudden we have bookend tackles that we could go for the next decade and just maul people with, but they're also obviously excellent pass protectors as well. And then maybe that changes the fortunes of your football team and certainly of your quarterback who you invested, you know, a high draft pick in.
How about Nate Solder? I know you know him from his days in New England, and he opted out a year ago, and he's still got a real high price tag. I mean, I'd be in favor of double dipping, adding a player and then drafting fairly high and try to groom a future tackle. But reportedly, he's on the block. After missing a year, does he still have good football left?
Like, he's a terrific athlete. I mean, a converted tight end from college and, you know, one of those guys that when you stand next to him, you're like, you shouldn't be a tackle. You just, like, he's this incredibly athletic, monstrous dude. Yeah, I think that's something where if the price tag comes down on him, if he gets released, that's a good option to kick the tires on if you miss out on your you know, if Trent Williams would be the guy that you want, you don't get him. Nate Solder's not a bad option. He's played a lot of football, smart kid, great guy in the community. Like there's and the same thing. I think you're in a position where, and I think we're going to see it across the league, it's going to be a lot of one-year deals, you know, because a lot of guys are going to, all right, I'll take the one-year deal, make good, and then, you know, hopefully the cap takes a massive jump next year, and then I can get paid.
Yeah, now, the way you describe him is interesting because the other two left tackles that we hear a lot about are both Browns, Orlando and Baltimore, who reportedly wants out. And, you know, Trent Brown, who played next door here at Florida, he made a ton of money on Adarte Skarnecki in New England, but he's been out of shape. He's missed a lot of time. Work ethic has been questioned. Do either one of those two, if the offer is right, make sense here in Jacksonville?
So I saw Trent Brown at his absolute best. He played phenomenally for the Patriots that 1 year and then cashed in big time. And then the same things that dogged him prior to coming to New England have dogged him, you know, with the Raiders in terms of does he even really – how important is it to him? And I know there's some videos circulating now. He's working out. He's doing crazy box jumps that someone who's 6'7", 360 pounds shouldn't be able to do. I mean, he's never had a problem athletically, but he doesn't stay in shape. He got fat. let's be real. And then, you know, as you get older, that's really tough on the joints, take that pounding. So, I you know, look, again, if he kicks free and that's – you want some experience there, you could take a shot, and maybe he's motivated to get one more contract, you know, so he gets that 1 year short money deal and then motivated and gets himself in shape and, you know, kicks butt, and then you go let him cash in somewhere else. Again, it's I think there's a lot of options there, and I think there's a lot of options that we haven't even gotten to yet that are going to end up kicking free because of the cap concerns that a lot of teams have. So it's there's no shortage of talent out there. It's, again, what are you willing to invest? How long are you willing to invest for? And are you willing to take, you know, I don't want to say problem child, but, you know, something along that effect. He's had some issues off the field.
Mike Girardi, our guest. He is from the NFL Network. He's joining us here on the home of the Jaguars. I'm Rick Ballew. This is 1010 on the AM, 92.5 on the FM. All right, Alex Smith released today in D.C., and there's been a lot of talk about him reuniting with Urban Meyer. They were both at Utah together. I think he'd be a phenomenal mentor and a leader for Trevor Lawrence in that quarterback room. The question is, can he find a starting job somewhere else in the NFL?
I would be surprised if he finds a starting job. I mean, look, last year was a phenomenal story. What he did, all the accolades that were thrown his way, deserve it. I mean, we saw the videos and how hard he had to work to come back. But I think people who then watched him play football last year, even though things were okay on the field, he's not the same quarterback. And one of his big attributes, you know, up until having the horrible leg injury was his mobility. And he didn't move very well last year. And there are some people that are like, look, in watching him, it was almost a scary factor to it. And I know we survived Aaron Donald jumping on his back and all those sorts of things. But even the injury late in the year was related, you know, it was related to all the surgeries and the management of that is difficult. So look, I don't question his ability to lead and the kind of person he is and the work ethic. And I mean, if you're going to learn, that's a pretty good place for Trevor to learn. I don't know if he can play, or I don't know if you would feel comfortable playing. And I'm really kind of curious to see how that all plays out with him.
Do you believe Jacksonville can get anything at all for Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. I think there is value in the contract. I mean, he's making $895,000, I think, for the upcoming year.
Correct.
Which is nothing. He has starting experience, obviously. He's a pretty good rhythm thrower. So if you're into the short, intermediate stuff, there are teams that feel like he would be a decent fit. I mean, there's been some talk about him in New England, depending on how things shake out with their quarterback situation. So, yeah, I think there is some value. I mean, I don't. You're not getting a second round pick. I mean, well, let's not be crazy here, but you might be able to get a four.
Yeah,
that's pretty good asset management, if you will. You know, you draft them in the sixth round, you get a fourth rounder for him a couple years later. That's not horrible.
No, I mean, listen, if they could get a fourth-round pick for Gardner Minshew, I think it's a move that you have to make it immediately. And it's nothing personal against Gardner, but he's getting ready for his third year, and he believes he can still play. He believes he can still start in this league. When you're taking over, and, you know, there's been problem issues here with Fournette, Jalen Ramsey, and I'm not saying that Gardner's provided a problem, but when you have everything based around Trevor Lawrence, don't you need to have a guy like Alex Smith or Tyrod Taylor or Andy Dalton, who accepts the role that they're no longer the guy and everything has to be built now around the face of your franchise in Lawrence?
I don't think there's any question. I mean, whoever, you know, I mean, if they go with Jake as the backup, you know, he'd be in the second year. That's one thing. But I think you would want to add some experience to that room. But whoever that is has to know, like, look, it's not a, I mean, you can compete all you want, but it's not really a competition, you know, unless Trevor Lawrence falls flat on his face, which nobody expects to happen. Then this is not, you know, you're here to help this kid become a pro.
Yeah. All right. Leave us with this, Mike. What do you believe over the weekend and next week? Is this going to be like something we've never seen before? There's already been some prominent names that have been let go, but are you expecting a bloodbath next week?
I think I'm definitely expecting a bloodbath. I'm also expecting a decent amount of signings before we get to free agents. That I think there are going to be some veteran guys that are getting released that are going to look at it and say, there's not a lot of money out there, and there's going to be a lot of names. I better go get myself a contract now and not be caught in the whole mix of all these guys that are going to be released and all these guys that are going into free agency. I don't want to be caught in that spot where there are less jobs and less money for me. So I think you might see some of these guys that have just gotten released quickly turn around in the next, whatever, 3-5 days and get themselves on a new team and get themselves at least a one-year contract so they're not in that competition.
Kind of like Tyrell Williams yesterday. Yeah, it's a great point, no doubt. Hey, Mike, always a lot of fun. Appreciate you joining us here with Rick Ballew. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too, Rick.
There he goes, Mike Girardi. Does real good work, and he does it with the NFL Network. A longtime member of the media in New England, and now he's moved, or now works for the NFL Network. But, I want to get in some of these NFL proposed rule changes, but they're not going anywhere. We can save that for another show. This is more important right now. I tell you what is really going to be intriguing. Not only next week and once free agency begins, but after the draft. And this is where, you know, if you're listening to your agent, this is where agents get fired, okay? Especially this year with the cap drop in $15, $16 million. Well, let's just say, you know, you're a young stud, you're an athlete, you're a football player, you know, the world is yours, and you're believing that you can fetch, let's say you believe you can fetch $7 or $8 million a year. You know, you're a good player. Not a great player, but you're a good player. And you don't get that situation done with a team right when free agency begins because, let's say, they're offering you $5 million. Well, if you don't sign then, And then other guys are signing. And then all of a sudden you have the draft, which last night was Thursday. We're seven Thursdays away from the NFL draft. And bam, here comes another 300-plus NFL draft picks plus all the street free agents. And all of a sudden it's the mid part of the summer. And most teams have filled most of their needs. Well, if you're still out there looking for a job, the money's going to be gone. The young kids coming out of college have filled those slots on NFL rosters. So where does that leave you? Honestly, for a lot of people, and I hate to say it this way, but it leaves them wanting to see someone get hurt at their position in training camp. But the value of a veteran is going to go down significantly if you don't pull the trigger early. I loved what he said about the one-year deal. A guy like Nate Solder for 1 year, I would love that for Jacksonville. You trying to tell me that if they could draft the tackle at 25 or 33 or 45, any one of these higher-ranked tackles, yet the pressure's not on this man to come in day one and be a left tackle? Okay, he could be your swing tackle behind Juwan Taylor, behind a guy like Solder, okay? Obviously, I want Trent Williams, but I'm also totally on board when it comes to the double dip, and this is the one position where you need to do it. If you have to overspend for one season to bring in a proven veteran who can do it for you, and then get someone else ready, I think that's the way that I would go about it. All right, that's my take. It's brought to you by Jacksonville's Lou Bodie. He is of Capital Financial Strategies. You've had issues with financial advisors? Have you? Well, if that is the case, and with everything that's going on right now in our country, man, it is awful. What about your money? Sit down with Lou, 626-7995. That's 626-7995, Lou Bodie with Capital Financial Strategies. Let's come back and dive into our second hour. You've done anything but mail it in on this Friday. You get Mike Girardi, and I just looked on Twitter. You've got about seven questions up.
Absolutely. You know, we don't stop, can't stop, won't stop.
That's all you.
Into the night.
You've efforted that. That's all you with effort.
Into the night with Rick Ballew.
None of this Trent Brown poor work ethic.
Absolutely not.
You're going after it on a Friday.
Absolutely. That's what we do. We go hard in the paint, throw elbows, young Shaq-like.
Going to be any elbows thrown this weekend at the All-Star game in Atlanta?
Oh, that All-Star game is about to be trash. It's about to be garbage, but I'm about to watch every minute of it. So we got a couple questions out for you on our Twitter. One of our first questions as we begun the show was, who's one top-tier free agent that the Jaguars need to keep their eye on and acquire this offseason, in your opinion? You can answer that on our Twitter page. We have a poll question up also for the nightlife. Is current Dallas Cowboys QB Dak Prescott a Super Bowl-winning QB, in your opinion?
No, no, no.
Well, Rick, this one is a close
one. All right, we listen to the people. That's why we throw these questions out, because we value the people's opinion, even if it's wrong.
54% say no yet. 46% are saying yes. And then this was an interesting one. Tay Austin of the Green Bay Packers posted a tweet yesterday, actually, and we found it to be pretty interesting. It's his most exciting college football players of all time.
And for me, there's no question. It's Reggie Bush is the best player I've ever seen live at a college football. Reggie Bush is number one for
that,
me.
That's who he has at number one. But the rest of the list, rather interesting. Somebody says this is a young man's list, but we want to give it to the nightlife. Who are the top 10 most exciting college football players of all time?
I love it. You know, I would go far and away Reggie Bush 1, Peter Warwick 2, Percy Harvin 3. That would be my top three. I know you asked for one, but again, I'm giving it to Reggie Bush.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Well, I came to the city. I was running from the
past. All right, a little bit of Jacksonville rock to begin our final hour of the week. The great Derek Trucks, Susan Tedeschi, she's a Boston gal. What's her not to love? Got to get them back on stage for crying out loud. Go away, this damn pandemic. Just go! My second summer with no concerts, man. Come on. All right, thank you to Mike Girardi. Good stuff there. Getting a lot of feedback as far as laying it all out there financially. And again, I would break the bank for Trent Williams. That is my opinion. That is my opinion only. I do value yours. I would also pay for Alex Smith. Get him in the room. I'm going to do that. I'm going to move Gardner Minshew. Have to, no doubt. I mean, I just think you got to make that move. Now, I mean, listen, it's my opinion on it. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if Gardner Minshew's on this roster. He's making less than $900,000. Urban Meyer says, you know, who knows what their thought process is? What if Urban Meyer and Brian Schottenheimer and Daryl Bevel are like, well, you know, let's go the Tua route. And I know Tua was injured. Let's go the Patrick Mahomes route with Alex Smith. Let's go the Aaron Rodgers route with Lord Favre. There's so much assumption that day one is Trevor Lawrence. Now, listen, they lost 15 games in a row. For me, there's no doubt I'm giving the football to Trevor Lawrence first game of the year. I mean, seriously, what do you have to lose? You've already lost 15 straight. But it doesn't mean they're going to do it that way. I know some folks were freaking out the other day. I think it was Brian Schottenheimer who met via Zoom with Zach Wilson. Peter King had that earlier today. Folks, it's called due diligence. It's called doing your job. There's no way this organization is going anywhere else outside of Trevor Lawrence, but you still got to go out and do your job. So, you know, don't be overly concerned with that. Andrew Norwell has been mentioned as possibly being peddled. Again, it comes from just an awful source in Jason LaCanfora, who, if he was here in Jacksonville right now, would look outside and tell us that it's snowing out. Anyway.
You have no idea where it's coming from.
Was that him?
Yeah, that was him.
When we hear that one more time, you don't have my response when I yelled at him when I told him he was lying?
No, I'll get the response for next
My
time.
My goodness, you pump up Jason LaCanfora, you don't pump up me for screaming at him?
You have no idea where it's coming from.
Well, neither do you.
That was you.
Right, but that was you.
No. I called him a liar.
You did, and then, you know, he... Well, I don't know who I talked to? I can't believe I wasn't here for that, but I mean, it was before my time.
Nothing leaks from Tom Coughlin. Okay, that is a leak from Tom Coughlin is legitimately getting blood from a rock. Every host on this station at one point or another threw out there, if it doesn't work for Doug Marrone, don't be surprised if Tom Coughlin comes from above and takes over the football team. I mean, everyone said that.
Right.
But Lockenfora threw it out as, like, fact. Like, that was what was being discussed at the, you know, at the water cooler, the coffee machine, in the men's room, in the women's room. No. Nothing leaks from Tom Coughlin. Nothing. It was called a lie by Jason Lockenfora.
That's what you called him, and he said, you can lose my number.
Everyone loved it, except for Gene Frenette, who can't figure out anything. He said that I disgraced the company and was an embarrassment. You folks probably didn't see it because I know people don't read Gene's, but there you go. There's a plug. Go ahead and Google it. All right, the 0193 says, Ballou, nope. And he has the audacity to want to get paid second behind Mahomes. If those reports are true, he's good, but he's done. Nothing deserves that. All right, this is my answer to the Dak Prescott question. I'm really surprised by this. Everything I'm getting is no way do people believe that he is going to win a Super Bowl in Dallas. And I agree with you. Are you going to pay that amount of money for Dak Prescott? Nothing personal. No issue with Dak Prescott. I just don't think he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. No way. 6130 Blue. Let's not forget A-Rob didn't want to be here 4 years ago. He's not worth $20 million a year. Go get a wide receiver like Galladay for half the price. Well, you know, listen, A-Rob wanted to go where the money was, and I don't necessarily agree with that. I think if they tendered him the right offer instead of giving Marquise Lee the offer, A-Rod would have been here. A-Rod had a good year in 2017 with a nice season with Blake Bortles. He is a victim of never having a great quarterback. His best football could be ahead of him if you get him on a team with a QB. It just shouldn't be here. Seriously, and I know he's popular, but I want speed, okay? If I'm going after a wide receiver via free agency, I'm going after a guy who can run, who can burn, all right? I'm going after Samuel. Curtis Samuel ran a 4.31 coming out of Ohio State. Urban Meyer had him at Ohio State. Now, I know that you get caught up in this, and others get caught up in it, whether you're a fantasy league guy or whether you bury your head in highlights or you just crunch numbers. You're going to look at the numbers of Allen Robinson. You're going to look at the numbers of Curtis Samuel and say, Allen Robinson is twice the player. You can even look at these free agency lists. They're all over the place. Allen Robinson is way up there. He's in the top five in most, where Samuel's anywhere from, you know, in the 40s to the low 30s. First off, you can get Samuel for a cheaper price. Secondly, I think you can do much more with Curtis Samuel. They used him wrong in Carolina. They used him strictly in the slot. Now, they ran him, and he's got a little bit of that, you know, feeling that he's the same type of guy as Laviska Shenault. It doesn't mean you can't change them. It doesn't mean you can't put them on the outside and let them run some deep routes. This organization has been so morbid in their offensive play calling. It has been absolutely disgusting. Okay? You can be three sheets to the wind. You can have an 18-pack in you, a couple of doobies, and know damn well whether or not they're going to call a run play or pass play. Zero imagination. And again, every single year, it's like that woman who's on her fifth marriage and she's telling her kids, it's going to work this time. He's the right guy. Every damn year around here, oh, here comes Nate Hackett. Oh, here comes Greg Olson. Oh, here comes John DeFilippo. Oh, here comes Jay Gruden. We're going to do it. We're going to change it. I love our talent. I love our room. I love our quarterback. I love our coaches. We're going to show you some things around here we've never seen. Oh, freaking offense averaged less than 8 points a game in the first 30 minutes of play over the last 2 years. That sucks. At least go down swinging. You know what the Jaguars have done offensively? Got him. Backdoor curveball. Got him. Down looking. Nothing worse than going down looking. That's what the Jaguars have done offensively. At least go down swinging. At least give me Reggie Jackson. Okay? Give me Rob Deere, for crying out loud. Give me Gorman Thomas. Who's another guy who struck out a ton of times? Give me Sammy Sosa. Go up there and take your swings. Go up there and take your... Oh, we're going to dink here. We're going to dunk there. We're going to run a counter here. We're going to throw a screen pass there. Well, you know, we can't really... We don't have a tight end. I'm tired of the excuses. Throw the ball downfield. Throw it. Hopefully with this offense, that's what we're going to see. You got a billion-dollar arm. Build the line. Give him weaponry. Give him tools. Give him speed. Not Allen Robinson. Not a glorified possession wide receiver. Yeah, let's bring in Allen Robinson. He runs a 4.7, but he's got a great route tree. Screw that. Give me a guy who runs a 4.3 and will burn. Run. That's what I want. I want speed. Allen Robinson, for me, no. Phenomenal human being, but no. Not going that way. Blue, you keep, this is the 50-72. Blue, you keep saying Breeze retired, which hasn't come out yet. Do you mean Phillip Rivers? No, I mean Drew Breeze. He's done. Jason Lockenforer reported it. Actually came from Jay Glazer. No, I mean, the feeling is that he's gone. I know he hasn't said it. So Rivers out, Breeze out. But I do mean Drew Breeze when I say it. If he comes back, then he comes back. But everyone I've talked to believes that he is out. 0794 says, Blue, I say we keep Minshew because he's cheap, but definitely get a fifth rounder or better if possible. You know, I've been pretty expressive about this, and I will continue to be. I just think you got to move Minshew for really a litany of reasons. Number one, I don't know if he's a part of a situation where the locker room is fractured because of him, because of his personality, and because of his lack of performance. Number two, he wants to play, and he should want to play. Look at his numbers, even though they lie. They really do, because a lot of them came in garbage time when they were down by three possessions. Is he going to be the best support system for the guy who's going to turn this thing around? No, he's not. You got to bring in a veteran who understands the fact that it's all about Trevor Lawrence. I can't see Gardner Minshew going into camp agreeing that it's all about Trevor Lawrence. And again, I don't think he's going to sabotage Lawrence. I don't think he's going to create chaos the way that Jalen Ramsey did. I don't think Minshew's that bad of a guy. But I do think the personality rubs people wrong a little bit. Oh, I'm out in the RV with my jorts, and I'm doing this and doing that. Did he work as hard as he should have during the offseason? I mean, we see the videos of him with the ropes, and you know, I don't know. You know, but because of COVID, we didn't get the opportunity this year to be in the locker room all the time. I'm disappointed because of that, but I'm not complaining. They very easily could keep him. Cost-wise, he makes total sense. But when you're bringing along the franchise quarterback, aren't you better off having a veteran? You're better off having a Mike Glennon. Okay? You are. I mean, and you saw what this organization thought of Gardner Minshew at the end when they refused to go back to him. I mean, they went to Mike Glennon. I still think a lot of that was personal. I still think a lot of that was broken trust when Minshew lied about the injury to Marrone. I don't know that. I think that. There's a difference. All right, we got much more to do. Good to have you with us.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I made a mistake on Allen Robinson reading that particular text talking about the 2017 season. He actually blew his knee out game one. Got one ball for 17 yards. His great season was 2015. 80 receptions, 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns. And he has put together consecutive 1,000-yard seasons in Chicago. And listen, I understand the fact that he has not had a quarterback there. But just look at his average per reception. I mean, 11.7 a year ago. And this is on 98 receptions. Last year, 102 receptions, an average of 12.3. You know, that's a possession receiver. And I think you can find them. I want a deep threat. I really do. I mean, I want a guy that can, you know, Will Fuller, you could probably get a little bit on the cheap. Looking at his career the other night, and I'm not necessarily studying receptions and yards. I'm looking at average per reception. Okay? Consistently, 15-1, 15-7, dipped to 13-7. Last year, 16-6. I mean, that's impressive. And it matters. You know, the difference there between, you know, 11 and 6, I mean, I know it's only 5 yards of reception, but it still adds up. Particularly the more balls that you end up catching. Now, look at these young guys that are coming out. Justin Jefferson, Calvin Ridley, DK Metcalf. Look at their average per reception. Rashard Higgins, Jerry Jeudy. I mean, they're 16s, 15s. That's what I want. Go get a guy like that. I know Samuel goes completely against, you know, this particular theory. He's probably, what, around 10, 11 yards a reception. But my point there is that they used him wrong. And Carolina as well has been a victim of bad quarterback play, you know, or a regressing Cam Newton. And last year, even though they spent an awful lot on Teddy Bridgewater, it just didn't work. I mean, listen, Samuel averaged 11.1. So if you read the numbers on him, they don't dazzle you. 77 receptions, 851 yards, an average of 11.1 per. As I've said now many times, I believe he can go deep, just like I believe Laviska Shenault can go deep. Hey, tomorrow is a big day for veterans here in town over at the Players. The Military Veterans Coalition is putting together their 10th annual military job fair. It's presented by United Rentals. They're going to have 30 companies, actually 25 companies out there. And let's see, it'll be tomorrow 10 to 1. If you are a military veteran and you're in need of employment, well, this is a great place to go. 25 companies, 10 to 1 tomorrow. It says to park in the general parking lot located off of CR210, located exactly at 5360 Palm Valley Road in Ponte Vedra. Let me give you the website. You vets deserve more love. Go to coj.net. That's coj.net. Love our vets. I'll never forget growing up working construction summers in Boston, working with Vietnam vets, and I had so much appreciation for those men. And I think as a country, we screwed up long before my time, where I had really any say. Well, you know, we don't need to get into it that much deeper than that. But if you're out of work, man, I hope you can get a job. 10 to 1 tomorrow. And again, located at 5360 Palm Valley Road. 25 companies in town. If you need a job and you are a veteran of the military, go to the 10th annual Military Job Fair. It's presented by United Rentals. Back to some of your comments on this. How are things going with the Twitter? We can get back to it in a little bit. You know, the one that I want is, what's the latest on Dak Prescott?
57% right now say no, he is not a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. I don't want to do that. Do I want to do that? Let's see. 11:50. I just got my car. I didn't catch the whole thing, but I love what you remember what you guys did. Yada, yada, yada. You grill Glock and four. You called them up saying, yeah. Yeah. It's amazing what you remembered for. 8812 Baloo. This guy spelled it B-A-L-L-O-O-O-O-O. Baloo.
Everybody has a very interesting way of saying your name.
What do you think about going full gangsta and trading up and taking Trevor and Zach Wilson and make them battle it out to make sure Jacksonville's quarterback curse is broken? I'm going to need a shot of some brown liquor before I even attempt to answer this question. I can't imagine what that would do to two young quarterback psyche. Seriously, the whole mental side of things. I remember having a long conversation with Brian Baldinger about this, about having two young quarterbacks who can play and the fear factor of looking over your shoulder. Sure, they deal with it on Saturday. They deal with it in college. But you can't invest top picks and then turn right around, not at that position. You can do it at any other position on the football field. So, I'm going to give you a big, big no to that one. 8230, Will Fuller is great if you want to play it available before games this season. We need a rim shot for that. Yeah, well, that was good. And, you know, I was talking about it, I think it was either yesterday or Wednesday or Tuesday. I don't know. But that's kind of the way I feel about Josh Oliver now. I've wasted valuable minutes of airtime bragging about Josh Oliver. And he gets hurt every year. It'll be very interesting to see how Urban Meyer handles injured players. Understanding and respect for the collective bargaining agreement, players get hurt. But, you know, how many opportunities are you going to get? How many years are you going to be sent to the IR and we'll get to you next year? Compared to, no, let's just move along and bring someone who can play. Again, from the 8230, Will Fuller is great if you want a player available for four games a year. I mean, that's awesome. That's one of the best texts I've ever received. The Ted Nugent stranglehold was awesome. That's from the 5884. No doubt, that's kind of my alter ego, and I'm a bad guy. I know you're shocked. But, you know, we all daydream once in a while. Maybe it's you coming up the walk up 16 to 17, wind in your face, sundresses in your face. He's got a beautiful backswing. Oh, it nestles in wonderfully. Left it about 8 feet for the cup, for birdie, to move ahead by one stroke here at the Players' Championship. Others may dream about being on stage, women throwing parts of their clothes at you. You're just drooling in sweat, and you're singing and shaking your long hair, and you're going crazy. Not me. When I fantasize, it's about coming out, leather boots. Can I get the Ted Nugent music, please? Leather boots, banana hammock, Speedo with one strap, all yellow. Cowboy hat. First thing I do when I come out of the tunnel is turn around and give the double bird to all of the fans. I'm packing foreign objects, and I'm going to get the pinfall.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, show brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. Please drive safe. If you are aware of someone who was in an accident created by a truck, tractor trailer, RV, bus, anything like that, please get to their family the name truckcrashlaw.com. They're the only folks in the entire state of Florida who do this full time. That's why they're so good at it. And Joe Camerlengo and his law firm. I hope you don't ever have to call them because I don't want anyone to get injured. But if you're aware of it, maybe it's at the office, maybe it's a neighbor, please tell them about truckcrashlaw.com. Richie Incognito is going to get cut now in Las Vegas. So it looks like the Raiders are going to part with Gabe Jackson, Richie Incognito, and Trent Brown's on the trade block. So they're going to totally redo that offensive line in Las Vegas. The Texans have just signed former Seahawks center Justin Britt to a one-year deal worth $3.2 million, could make as much as $5 million. Hey, you know what's coming up tomorrow at 2 o'clock on ABC? Any idea at all?
No, I'm only focused on what's coming up on Sunday.
You're focused on the NBA All-Star game.
Right.
50 years to the day, actually it would be Sunday would be 50 years to the day, but they're going to run it, or Monday would be 50 years to the day, but they're going to run it Sunday at 2 p.m. The fight of the century, the first of the three between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier.
Down goes Frazier.
That would have been in the Thriller in Manila. I believe so. That would have been the third fight. Or, you know, it possibly could have been in the second. I mean, Joe Frazier wins this first fight.
Yeah.
And then Muhammad Ali wins the second two. Of course, Joe Frazier, the pride of Philly. And Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time, out of Louisville. But they're going to show it, and I guess they're going to have interviews during it, and they're going to have it, you know, higher tech as far as, you know, the way it's going to look on the TV set. So I'm going to have to lay down some tape on this and come back and take a look at it. That second fight was when Ali, you know, became much more a defensive fighter. There was some controversy there because he clinched, you know, like 150 times in the fight. And created a little bit of animosity, particularly in the Frazier corner. And then, of course, you had the Thriller in Manila. But, you know, you young kids out there, if you've never seen it, you've never YouTubed it, what an opportunity to see. And I'm never going to dumb down or belittle boxing because I loved it so much growing up. But what an era. And, you know, this is before my time, but, you know, that's one of the beauties of YouTube. That's one of the beauties of being able to go back and watch these historic fights. And it's going to be on ABC. coming up this week. Real quick before I do this, I tweeted out earlier today, I think it was Kelly Dillingham, Florida State's coach. It was something in the locker room where Florida State was just going crazy. So I retweeted it, and I said, I can feel it beginning to turn. Well, obviously, no Florida State fans reacted to me because Florida State fans are only there for me when I say something negative about the alma mater. But enter Gator fans all of a sudden trying to get all up in this.
Here comes Closet Gator Baloo.
So one guy, all right, he's a guy, and he's like, yeah, you Florida State and Tennessee, you guys are off-season champions. You never do this. You never do that. I'm like, whoa. How about if I provide some facts? Florida State's beaten Florida seven out of the last 10 times. That's 7 wins and only 3 losses in the last 10 meetings. And I'm not talking about basketball where they've won 7 in a row. Now, I'm not talking about baseball where they've won 1 in a row. I'm talking about football. Florida State's won 7 out of the last 10. Tennessee, you say? Florida has beaten Tennessee 15 out of the last 16 times. Tennessee should be freaking thrown out of the Southeastern Conference. So, Gator, whether you are employed and wicked smart, or you're the least common denominator when it comes to sense, don't ever throw Florida State into the same category with Tennessee.
So you don't really understand what it's all about.
But I want to, Mike. I want to come. I want to be part of it. Don't ever compare Florida State to Tennessee. As bad as things have been in Tallahassee, that thing's going to turn, okay? I hope it turns with Norvell. I don't know if it will. I hope it does. But it's never going to go down the toilet the way that Tennessee has. Let me repeat that for you. Florida has beaten Tennessee 15 times in the last 16 years. Florida has beaten Florida State 3 times in the last 10 years. Facts, people. Facts. 1898, Blue, what would you give up to give Trevor and Jamar Chase? I'm not going to give up anything for a wide receiver right now just because Jacksonville has more pressing needs. I love Chase. I love these guys at the top of the draft board, including, you know, the kids coming out of Alabama as well. Both receivers out of LSU, both receivers out of Alabama are incredibly enticing. And if you add to that Kadarius Toney, I mean, you can make the case that 5 out of the top 6 wide receivers are going to come out of the Southeastern Conference this year. But I'm not going to give up product. I'm not going to give up draft capital to get a wide receiver. I'm just not going to do it. 75-81. How about trading up real high to take Penei Sewell? You know what? You know, that's an interesting one. It really is. We saw Wirfs in the Super Bowl. We saw Becton finally, you know, give the Jets a little something that they can hang their hat on the left side. If he grades that high, I would have no problem trading 25, and even if you had to take 33 or 45, I'd do it. Only if he is graded that highly by Trent Baalke and his staff. I'm not a fan of giving up 2-for-1. I want Jacksonville to exercise all of this draft capital and take advantage of the amount of money they have in free agency. But to be a hypocrite, I have also said I am absolutely overpaying for my left tackle. So maybe you have to give up a little bit more. 68-26, but we love the Bad Show. The Bad Show. Man, I haven't heard that in about 20 years. Maybe we'll go back to that a little bit. I don't know. Maybe we should make Tuesday night. Maybe we should do that. Since we're on late on Tuesday, maybe we should make Tuesday night old school Bad Show, RJ. Then again, when I was doing the Bad Show, you weren't even born.
No, I don't even know what this is.
That was old school in the 90s.
Oh, man.
And it was a lot of fun. Midnight in Harlem, my favorite. Thanks for that. We saw them here a few hours after Greg Allman passed. Yeah, I remember that. It was awful. I think it was the first concert at Daly's place. And I was with the Godfather, Jimmy Cannon, and my good friend who's recently passed, Doug Zani, who died a little bit more than a year ago. You probably remember him from Pablo Creek as well as Atlantic Beach. But yeah, that was a very emotional night. I appreciate you getting in with that. It's going to do it for us. We are out of here. It is time for James Coleman. It is time for Denny Thompson. It is time for JJ. It is time for the Sports Den. It's coming up in just a couple of minutes.
Now, the 2-minute drill on 1010XL.
Man, what did you do? You changed it up a little bit. You got a different look going.
I just took my hair down. Yeah, I got to.
I'm not that observant.
Yeah, I got to unwrap it so my dreads can be dreads.
Okay, I'm usually not.
Not all dolled up like I'm normally. You know, like looking good.
How long has it been since you've had a haircut? I know you get a haircut here and there.
I get my beard taped up.
With T-wig and stuff like that, but. As I do, but how long
have you been? I haven't had the top of my head cut since 2006. July 25th, 2006, the day before my birthday.
Is it a pain in the ass?
Nah. I mean, I'm so used to it now. People always ask me, is it hot? And I'm like, nah, it actually protects the back of my neck. Like in the summertime when I lay it down. And then when I wear it up, the only time it becomes a pain is when it's just done and it's like really, really upright and hasn't dropped any. Trying to get in and out of my truck. Like, my head hits the top of the truck.
All right.
It's just, if I'd have had this for the combine, though, I'd have been a little taller.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But I mean, for the most part, though, when you were at FSU, you didn't have.
I had a low haircut.
Yeah.
So I went from low to grow it out. It was the biggest thing is, you know, I got a big head. So Coach Bowden when I got there, he didn't allow us to have dreads. He changed the hair rule. I believe the cornerback, he went to Oklahoma, ended up going to the NFL. I believe the Cowboys, like, I'm going to get you. He was an African name, but that's what it sounded like.
Oh,
he was a junior college guy.
Osemi, I can't remember.
But he had dreads. And
okay.
Bowden lost him my sophomore year. But after going into my junior year, that would have been his class. He got Xavier Lee by promising that he wouldn't cut Xavier Lee's hair. He would be okay with the hair rule. And we shaved his eyebrow. Oh, excuse me. He allowed his eyebrows to be shaved in lieu of shaving his head. He wanted to be in part of the program. So it was tradition building. So, but then he allowed us to have cornrows, but it was just like those regular straight back cornrows. And that would look like it had gone forever on my head. And I was just like, you know, I just keep it low. Keep it nice and tight.
In this Florida heat, man, that's got to be brutal for these players.
Yeah.
I would think so.
But all the guys from down in Miami are the ones with you.
It looks good. I mean, the ladies are going to love it. I mean, there's a sacrifice you have to make, but I'm talking about during that practice.
Yeah, and then the helmet.
It's going to be rough.
To have to wear it with the helmet. And then I try to keep mine, especially if I'm going to be on TV. Like, if I'd have been in college, it would have been done a lot more. I would retwist it. Like, when I'm on TV with Porter, I'm keeping that thing retwisted. Keeping it tight, keeping the beard. Right now, where I ain't had to be on, except for YouTube or Facebook Live, I'm a little bummy right now. But, you know, that got a little costly. But, yeah, it was a lot cooler when you're playing football with that. And I've never been tackled by hair. Like, I see those guys get grabbed and, pulled. That doesn't seem like fun.
Yeah, I'm just jealous, man. I could never do it. When I was early at Florida State, I tried to do the long blonde hair with the surfers.
The Trevor Lawrence?
Just couldn't do it. Nah, I never came close to Trevor Lawrence. I had a little bit of party in the back, but I couldn't get there.
Yeah.
There's just certain things you got to understand you can't do. You got to give it up.
And you got to move on. And when you do, you got to appreciate it. That's why I have a beard. It took me I think I've had my beard for like 3 years now, and one day it connected. It took 33 years for it to connect. And when it connected, it was, I was like, I'm never getting rid of it. I don't know if this is going to, they say act like you've been there, yeah. But I hadn't. And I don't ever, and I didn't know if I was going to ever get there again, so I kept.
Friday night, what's up?
Ready Fridays, every Friday night we come in. I'm on one today, so I'm going to tell you guys, like, text line, Denny's not here right now. He's going to be a little late.
Unless you're ready, burning up right
if you're ready to write an email, try me. Because you're going to get roasted and your feelings are going to get hurt. Because it's Petty Friday and I just really don't care right now. So I've got some – I'm going to open it up with why I'm on tilt. It's basically some man issues. And if you're, you know, if you're a woman, you might get offended. That's okay.
Ooh.
I love you, though. I still love you. Want you to listen to the show. But I can only speak from the perspective of a man. I've never been a woman before. I'm not one of those guys who's going to pretend.
Yeah.
I only know how to speak from my perspective. Tavon Austin, kind of petty with his top 10, but these top 10s are getting out of top 10 all-time college players. He was less disrespectful as a lot of other people, but nonetheless disrespectful to some local guys. But if you want to text the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures, and we'll make sure we put this on our Twitter, give me your top 10 college athletes of all time. Some of you guys are a little bit older. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to hear anybody who was before desegregation. Don't give me the Four Horsemen. Don't give me any of these guys. I don't want to hear about – I don't even want to hear about Jim Brown. It wasn't fair. Like, Jim Brown was not fair what he did, but
– You don't want to hear about number 87 playing quarterback back in the day?
Quarterback, punter, field goal kicker. I don't want to hear about that. We'll just talk about some of the things. And Dan Snyder is the thing that really just came on, so we got to talk about that.
That's becoming very interesting. It could be. I mean, listen, all those sexual harassments and everything that came down there in D.C., we'll see if he ends up surviving that. So I've heard reports really coming out of both sides, one that it's not true, it's not going to happen, the other that absolutely there's something there. So we'll see what ends up happening. All right, James, have a great night.
All right.
There he goes, James Coleman. And coming up right now, it is the Sports Den. Folks, have a great weekend. The next time we talk will be Monday at 6. It's going to be a huge weekend. All right. We'll get ready for conference tournaments and college basketball. Oh, yeah. And the Players Championship right here in Jacksonville next week. Big plans for you this weekend?
The NBA All-Star Game. I'm interested. Let's see how this works out. Everything being encapsulated to one day. Let's see how this plays out. I think it's not going to be the greatest of all-star games. They may surprise us. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I'm aspiring for a little bit more than that. I'm excited about the Noles tomorrow at high noon against Notre Dame. That'll be a lot of fun. And, you know, watching golf, certainly Sunday. Final round from Arnold's place. Over at Bay Hill on Sunday as the Florida Swing well underway. Second event, of course, the Players coming here beginning next week, including practice rounds Tuesday and Wednesday. All right, that'll do it. Thank you to Mike Girardi from the NFL Network. For RJ Saunders, my name is Rick Ballew. Have a fantastic weekend. We will talk Monday at 6.